Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, which means it's time to Ask T-Frank, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with a Turkey Day no-brainer. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game, and you win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. We call that a sure thing. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, T. Frank, this is your time to shine. We take our listeners' questions, and the expert, T. Frank Carr, will give us his expert opinion. If you want to send your question for T. Frank, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask T. Frank button. Send it in. At the end, we'll select the best question, and that questioner will get the KSN sweatshirt. Very appropriate as we get into these cold weather months. Are you all ready, T. Frank?
I am, and your free life advice is if you win the free sweatshirt, it makes a great present as well.
There he is, right off the top, T. Frank. Life advice. What else could you want under the tree waiting for you other than the KSN sweatshirt?
Especially if you got the polo. I run hot as a person as it is, so I'm going to wear the polo all winter long anyway and just put some socks on, so it'll be fine.
For those of you who haven't figured it out, that's T. Frank's subtle way of telling me I've never sent him the KSN sweatshirt, which I will have to do. And taking his advice, maybe that will be your Christmas gift, T. Frank.
Perfect.
Let's get to our questions. Let's start with Jimmy in Forest City, who says, T. Frank and Salty Jim. That was Jim last week. Salty Jim. I was after that Michigan loss, T. Frank. Where does Christian Vaillieu's first Penn State appearance rank in the history of great first appearances in the blue and white?
So let's consider the opponent first off, just to pump the brakes on this particular feeling, topic, and conversation. But secondly, I don't know that's a great way to have a barometer for a guy's long-term performance and all of those things where I think the question is leading. But the honest answer is I don't have a great memory for these things because I'm cramming so much new information in that I don't always retain the old stuff. So somebody asked me about Will Levis's first performance and comparing it to Vaillieu's a couple weeks ago. And I don't remember Will Levis playing Rutgers all that well. I just don't remember it. So, Sean Clifford looked good in his first couple passes in the bowl game when he had to come in for Trace McSorley. Trace McSorley looked good coming in for Christian Hackenberg in the Gator or whatever bowl it was against Georgia. So, it was good. It was a good first impression, but ranking it, I would have to remember all of them. I would have to have the stats and the information. I just don't have any of that stuff. And nor do I. No offense, Jimmy. I just don't know that it's the right way to look at it.
Well, since I had the question ahead of time, I did some research, which, of course, I set somewhere else away from my desk here, T. Frank. So I did look and see. It did appear that Sean Clifford had a pretty good first game, but I believe it was against Idaho. As you mentioned, Trace McSorley in a bowl game. His numbers weren't great, but he certainly showed he was at least competent. And I believe Christian Hackenberg, of the three, actually had the best first game. And just as a quick aside, I think I also found Saquon Barkley's first game where he had one rush for 1 yard. So I don't think first appearances are necessarily the indicator. All right, let's go to Randy in Binghamton, New York, and says, how does a team that handles COVID so well have 35 flu cases in 1 week?
Randy, I don't know. I don't know. The flu and COVID are different. The situation is different. And again, I don't want to assume where your question is going, but I know where this question can go. So I don't want to go there. Students and individuals make their own decisions now. If they're vaccinated, they don't have to wear a mask in certain parts of town or places. And I don't know. I am not a virologist, so I couldn't really tell you. I just know that it happened. not to be a bummer so far, but pass on the first two. What are we doing?
We're not going to have any winners in the first two. I'll tell you what, I was going to say, you said virologist. I was going to go immunologist. We'll have him a guest on next week to answer those questions. Let's go to Tony in Philadelphia, who says, I always enjoy your analysis. That's a good start, Tony. Suck up a little bit. That's always helpful. If you were advising Ellis Brooks, Jesse Luceda, PJ Mustipher, Brandon Smith, and Joey Porter, would you tell them to return to Penn State for one more year? And I'm going to rephrase the question for you, T. Frank, because I think it's a little unfair how he phrased it. There are several guys who are going to have to make decisions for Penn State, whether to move on to the NFL or stay. Are there any of them that stick out in your mind either way that if you had the chance, you'd say, hey, look, I think you'd be better off sticking around for another year, or you know what? I think you've done everything you can here. Go play in the NFL.
So PJ Mustipher, I think, should come back because of the injury situation, but that's just dicey in general, because if he comes back, he's not going to be healthy to start next year. So he can't do any testing. He can't be a part of the offseason process this year. Will he be healthy enough that he doesn't put bad film on out there for NFL teams next year? Will they hold that against him, or will they be understanding? He's already going to be a late round pick anyway. I don't know that he did a lot to be a top 150 player in the draft. So then he has to make sure that he is a everything else guy. And if he can't be an everything else guy on the field and all that stuff, the testing next offseason is going to be the most important thing. So I think he should come back and gamble that he's going to recover quickly. The guy that I think should come back and can do the most good for himself would be Jesse Luceda, because I love him at defensive end. I didn't know that I was going to love it, but I love it. He can be a good pass rusher. He can be an above average pass rusher with his length and quickness. He needs to add strength and pass rushing moves. He can do both of those things. He just has to take time, commit to it, work with John Scott Jr. for another year. He could be a borderline first round pick, mid round pick as an off ball sort of 3-4 jack linebacker. He can be that sort of difference maker at that position because he's an elite run defender with elite hands. He just needs to use those hands as a pass rusher. Joey Porter Jr. could go right now, and if he runs well at the combine with 35 inch arms at 6'1", 6'2", whatever he is, he can go in the first round. So he's all potential. Dad, bloodlines, moment's not going to be too big for him. He could be a first-round pick this year if the right team falls in love with him. But if he came back next year and played better, he's a lock first-round pick. So that's just up to him as to where he wants to go and how he wants to handle that. And then the other two, Ellis Brooks, I'd say go, because he is what he is. He is a really smart, disciplined, high-level IQ linebacker with good but not outstanding athleticism. And that's not going to change. And then Brandon Smith, I could see it either way. I could see it either way. Again, he tests well. He's a high pick.
I think part of this conversation you have to at least mention is what happened last year with Jahan Dotson and Jaquan Brisker. They both bet on themselves coming back, and it looks like very good chance they both made themselves into first-round draft picks. They both played so well. So there is a gamble to it, and you never know if they're the kind of guy who's going to excel at the combine. You may not need to have a great year if you excel at the combine. I'm thinking Jason Oway as an example, who had the zero sacks infamously, but still was a first round pick. All right, let's go to Doug in Wellsboro, who says, T. Frank, as it stands now, Penn State's looking at a 2-4 or 3-3 start at best next season. But will any of the incoming freshmen make enough of an impact to change this?
You guys are on one this week. Oh, my gosh. Questions about VU's start ranked in history with the subtext of future earnings. You've got virologists, and now we're asking about a 3-4 start next season. I don't know what the plan is for the bowl yet, so I have not looked at 2022 schedule. And the answer is Nick Singleton and Dennis Sutton. Those are the two players that I think have a chance to play and be at least some sort of impact, especially Singleton, early in their careers because they're physically ready and their talent merits that. If you want to, if you're thinking Drew Allar and that's the how the question was thought of, no. If you're expecting a true freshman to do anything other than what you just said, I would expect that more so with just knowing a true freshman is the starting quarterback. If I knew that one fact, I go, well, you might start out 500, but be good by the end of the year. I don't know. But as far as the class itself, those two, and then there's a couple of receivers that are really talented, but can they beat out the young guys that are in the program already? We might see. It's a very talented class. It's a very, very talented class. JB Nelson's another guy that comes to mind as a JUCO player that is got the body for it already, but I don't know. And I also push back on the idea of, you know, exactly how they're going to start next year, considering everyone thought it was going to be 2-2 or 3-3 to start this year. And they were 5-0. You just don't know.
I think the question comes down to, and you answered it correctly, do you see any of the freshmen making some quick impact? We're going to have an entire offseason to talk about that. Let's sneak one more in real quick. Jim from Syracuse says, T. Frank, I know you hate the topic, but those of us not on the inside, can you help? Please tell us what specific facility and infrastructure improvements James Franklin is looking for. And let me just put it, his P.S. Might it be more cost effective to just give Larry Johnson $10 million to come back and coach the defensive line? Just kidding.
Okay. All right. So this is, I've been asked this question before, and Nate Bauer, my coworker, it had the best response to it. It's not a honey-do list. It's not about that. It's about the idea that you have to say these things to the university and to the board of trustees and to the athletics department at large. So I phrased it this way when he explained it that way. My in-laws are visiting right now for Thanksgiving, and my wife wanted the apartment to look nice for her parents to see. So I was thinking I needed like a list of things to do, and she's saying, why aren't you seeing them already? All of these things, I need you to feel the same way about this that I do. And that was the disconnect. That's the same thing. James Franklin wants the university not to have his demands met, but to meet him where he is philosophically. And that's the disconnect, and that might be changing. We will find out.
In this analogy, your wife is James Franklin, you're the administration, and in a marriage, it's like, well, if you don't know what the problem is, I'm not going to tell you, T. Frank. Anyway.
Luckily, she's not that way, but I am the grumpy person that doesn't like to spend money like the Board of Trustees, so that's fair.
Very quickly, who's our winner?
Let's go with Randy in Binghamton.
Okay, Randy, you're the winner. We'll get in contact with you. Stick around in quarter number four. We have Dustin Schutte talking Big Ten football.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.